I want to read again the scripture from Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 through 15. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has been raised, as he said. Come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, he has been raised from the dead, and indeed he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them and said, "Greetings," and they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While they were going, some of the guard went into the city and told the chief priests everything that had happened. After the priests had assembled with the elders, they devised a plan to give a large sum of money to the soldiers, telling them, "You must say, 'His disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this comes to the governor's ears, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble.'" So they took the money and did as they were directed. Thank you, God, for our risen, ruling, returning Savior, Jesus the Christ, whose resurrection we celebrate this day and always. After all these years of hearing the Easter story and all the iterations in the four Gospels, you almost feel as though you know every last detail about them. And sometimes you may read or listen to them with half a mind, since you know them so well, believing you're not going to read or hear anything new. But every once in a while, you hear the stories again, and all of a sudden, something jumps out at you, making you say, "I never noticed that before." That happened to me when I began reading the scripture for Easter. I came to this part of the story where the priest told the soldiers, "You must say his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep." I've known peripherally about that part of the Easter story, the way the soldiers were bribed, but it stuck out to me more than usual this time. We have to backtrack a bit to the point where the scheme was first set in motion. After the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said, "Sir, we remember what that impostor said while he was still alive. 'After 3 days, I will rise again.' Therefore, command the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may go and steal him away and tell the people he has been raised from the dead, and the last deception would be worse than the first." Pilate said to them, "You have a guard of soldiers. Go, make it as secure as you can." So they went with the guard and made the tomb secure by sealing the stone. They wanted to make sure nothing out of the ordinary happened, but in spite of their best efforts, something extraordinary did happen. Angels and earthquake, the stone covering the tomb effortlessly rolled away. Astounded and confounded, the soldiers on guard were paralyzed with fright. They didn't share in the women's joy as they realized Jesus had risen. When the soldiers recovered, some of them went into the city to tell the chief priest what had happened. What a story it was. They saw an angel. They felt an earthquake. They saw the stone had been rolled away. This was the greatest event in the history of humankind. And the priests and elders told them they hadn't seen or felt a thing. Somehow they convinced the soldiers that what had happened that Easter morning was of no consequence. To save their own pride, they offered the soldiers a bribe. That was a bold thing to offer and a bold thing to accept. The soldiers surely knew that Roman law said any soldier who was derelict in duty, letting a prisoner escape, falling asleep on the job, getting bested by a ragtag group of followers, any soldiers who did any of that was to be punished by death. Why did the soldiers allow the priests and elders to exert such authority over them, telling them what to say to avoid punishment? That must have been quite a large sum of money for the soldiers to agree to the priests and elders' plan. You must say his followers stole him while you were asleep. But it didn't make sense. If all the soldiers were sound asleep, how could they know who had stolen the body? The disciples had fled that night at the Garden of Gethsemane and hid during the crucifixion. Suddenly they got bold enough to raid the tomb, even though there was a contingent of tough Roman soldiers guarding it. Jesus' followers couldn't stand and watch at the cross. No way they were going to venture out and steal Jesus' body. But if you repeat a lie often enough, eventually people begin to accept it. Who would you lie for? Who would you die for? Is there any amount of money in the world worth denying Jesus' resurrection and the power of God? I can hardly believe all the soldiers accepted these terms and never thought or talked again about that fateful night in the cemetery garden. I want to rewrite that part of the story. I want to imagine one soldier, let's call him Marcellus, that's a really good Roman name. Marcellus just couldn't forget what happened. Marcellus kept waking up in the middle of the night, seeing the burst of light that heralded the arrival of the angel, feeling again the trembling of the earth. Again, he felt helpless and paralyzed, trying to shout out, trying to move, unable to do either. Days later, he was still reeling from the encounter. Days later, he still remembered looking back over his shoulder as he left the garden, seeing the rock rolled away from the entrance of the tomb and the tomb itself empty. His pockets jangled with the coins, the hush money the elders and priests had given him. They weighed heavy on his mind too, just as much as his capitulation to spreading the lie did. Something stirred in his heart. Marcellus knew what he had seen and felt. He knew what had happened. It was beyond his explaining. It was beyond his denying any further. His fellow soldiers seemed to move on with their lives, actually bragging that they'd been spared their due punishment due to the intervention of the priests and elders. But Marcellus felt as though he were spiraling down into a deep pit. He kept hearing the priest's order, "You must say his disciples stole him. You must say this story of his rising again is a hoax. Hoax, you must say this, you must say that. You must." Marcellus held one of the coins in his hand. He heard the whispers in the street, the whispers in the night. The story was unraveling. People were talking about the power of God to defeat death. Everything ragged and nagged at him. Marcellus had been there. He knew what he had seen. He knew what had and hadn't happened. Nobody had stolen nobody. The coin burned into his palm. The experience burned into his brain, into his heart. After several more nights of sleeplessness, Marcellus found himself suddenly on his knees. "I believe," he whispered. "I believe in the power of God, and I believe in this man, Jesus of Nazareth. He was dead, but now he is alive." At once his burden eased. As Marcellus let the truth flow free, his heart opened. He got up and found the money just where he had stashed it. It was a lot of money. It could buy a lot of things, but it could no longer buy his silence. It could no longer buy his compliance. It could no longer buy his denial. Marcellus carried the chest of money back to the priests and handed it to them. "I know what I know," he said. "I know what I saw. I know what I felt. I know that this man, Jesus, is the Son of God. This is what I must say now. The truth, no more lies." And as the priests watched, their mouths hanging open in astonishment, Marcellus walked away. just walked away, just put it all behind him. And soon he found himself in an open square in the city where a man was preaching and saying astonishing things. They crucified Jesus Christ, but God has raised him from the dead. Marcellus stood there listening, his heart pounding. Some of the people around him were scoffing and scuffling. What a crazy man. What a crazy story. Marcellus heard a voice in his head. It echoed some of the priest's words. You must say, you must say, you must. And Marcellus found himself shouting, it's true, I was there. I saw the angel and I felt the earthquake. Jesus is alive. A few soldiers he knew saw him. They looked at him in astonishment, but Marcellus didn't care. He stumbled up to the man who was preaching and grabbed him by the arms. Yes, I was there. I saw. I believe. I believe. Marcellus was actually weeping. It felt so good to let this burden go, to speak the truth so loudly and clearly, to share his belief and to be set free. Marcellus had come to the point where he had to say what the angels told the women, what we proclaim today with joy and hope and excitement. He is risen. He is risen indeed. You must say that. So let us, along with Marcellus and with all the believers all over the world this day, let us say it. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Amen. Thank you.
Drive the nails in my hand, laugh at me where you stand. Go ahead and say it isn't me. The day will come when you will see, 'cause I'll rise again. Can't keep me in the ground. Go ahead and mark my name. My love for you is still the same. Go ahead and bury me, but very soon you will see.
Scar. loving mood. In my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Hallelujah.